Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hello and welcome to Go for Gold. Coming to you live from Australia, I'm Tanya Turner, known as Tan from Oz. I'm super excited to be here with you all today as it's a launch on my very first live show. Many of you I know follow me on Twitter and Facebook and know me from the Aussie Bloggers podcast, but today you have the opportunity to talk to me live on air. All you have to do is dial in on 646-716-7979. So what is Go for Gold? Go for Gold is a show designed for anyone looking for inspiration and motivation to improve their own lives and set their own path to go for gold. Here you'll find inspiring conversations with amazing guests who have unique stories to share. And at the heart of every story will be how one person overcame insurmountable odds to go for their own gold medal. These inspirational leaders will share their aha moments, their everyday actions and simple strategies that they employ in their everyday lives so that you too can go for gold. Joining us today is the founder of Coach on Fire Radio Network and the very inspirational man himself, Michael Brooks. Welcome, Michael.
Tanya, Michael. It is a pleasure, Tan, should I say. It is a pleasure to be here on your very first live radio show. I know you're an experienced podcaster, but this is a little bit of a different beast, so to speak. So we're just going to have some fun today. And that was an awesome introduction of your show. And
thank
what
you.
I'd like to do now, with your permission, is turn the tables a little bit. You know, on your show, you're going to be interviewing guests from around the world that are inspirational and going for their gold. But today, Tanya's going to go for her own gold medal, and I know her well enough to know that, like me, she is an ex-swimmer, so going for the gold is something we both know a little bit about, and we're just going to have some fun and learn everything we can, and even then some, about Tanya today. How's that sound, Tanya?
Well, that sounds a little bit daunting, but you know, I'm always up for a challenge.
That's right.
Hit me with it.
And it's going to be fun. Let's start with a little bit about what you've been doing before you've been transitioning into some newer programs here with the NLP, and we'll get into that, and the motivational inspiration mindset type of stuff that you're going to be doing on this show. But let's talk a little bit about your digital technology coaching first. And why don't you go into a little bit about how that transpired after your accident from a teaching career and getting into teaching how to get comfortable with digital technology, because what we're doing here today is a technological marvel, if you will. We are some 15,000 miles apart, you in Brisbane, Australia, and me over here in the USA on the West Coast, and we're talking live. And we do that on a regular basis. And now we're talking live to the world. They can hear us right. Don't let this make you too nervous, Tanya. But the entire world can listen to us. Right now, they can listen to us. And I know one of your passions has been getting people comfortable with digital technology. So let's talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to transition into more about what this show is going to be about, and dig into some personal things about what makes Tanya tick.
Okay, sure. Well, Michael, I guess my journey in technology started a very long time ago, back in the 90s, and I had the opportunity of either being an art teacher or a technology teacher. And at the time, I could not draw or paint or knew anything about that, but my husband actually had a brand new computer, a 486DX, it was back then. which is pretty swish. And I thought, well, you know, I can always ask him if I have any problems. So I said, yes, I'll do the technology teaching part. So I basically, for the first 6 months, would talk to teachers about how they could use computers in the classroom, which was quite easy knowing a lot about curriculum at the time, but not knowing a lot about computers. So even today, when I help people, I still go back to where I was back then and remember what it's like when you just have no idea. And when someone asks you a technical question or you need to know something technical, what I did back then was I had, when mobile phones were big bricks and it was embarrassing to have a mobile phone, I would walk away, walk around a corner, go and ring up my husband and say, somebody wants to know this and this. What do I tell them? Walk back, act quite confident and say, here's your answer. Or I would let them talk the whole process through until they came up with the answer, simply because listening is one of the greatest tools that we actually can employ. So that was the very first start of myself in the area of technology. And from there, I then went on to becoming an education leader in Queensland, and I taught teachers, ran a lot of educational projects. I have a Master of Education in Information Technology now, and ended up teaching and lecturing at university around the world. I went to the Middle East and taught the teachers over there how to use technology in the classroom, how to just use different skills in the classroom even, which was really, really interesting. And when I came back from the Middle East, that was actually when I had my car accident, which changed my world. So does that cover, you know, sort of the start of how things began for me?
Yeah, and you must have been quite a teacher, because I know that you won a variety of Teacher of the Year awards, which is very, very cool. But so we don't run out of time and I get everything in that we want to get in today, why don't you give us one digital technology tip that everyone can take home and start using right away?
You mean besides Google?
Yes, besides Google.
Look, in terms of technology now, I will tell you, I was running a training session yesterday on WordPress and how to actually customize your website using WordPress. And I had a lady come into the session before me, which was on basic beginners computing, who had never even used a computer. She actually went from learning typing at school, and she became a dancer. And so her whole world was just about dancing. She didn't know even really how to operate the mouse very well. And, you know, I reflected on that a lot last night. And I thought, what do you do if you don't even know those basic skills of computing, and we are living in an age where it is becoming almost imperative to have those computer skills? So the first thing I would do is, actually my digital technology tip for today is actually to ask for help. There are so many people around that you can access, and online and offline, and sometimes it just means putting yourself out there. So even though this may not be a direct technology tip, it is a tip to help you in technology. And it's about finding somebody who can take you and step you through what you need to know, whether it is something as advanced as building an online course or just learning how Word works. You need to just take that first step and find someone who can teach you.
Okay, very cool. And the gardener showed up. I am going to have to go inside there. You have something, Tanya, called the 10-step to management program to happiness. and that helped you get over your accident. And why don't you walk me through what those 10 steps are and how it helped you in your struggle to recover from your accident?
Okay, yeah, sure, Mark. Listen, I had an accident. It was probably about seven, eight years ago now. And I went through the whole process of being really at the top of my game. I had just come back from the Middle East. I was looking to really hit the ground running with educational technology back here in Australia. I had my daughter with me. You know, we had been traveling the world together. Everything was great. And I had that accident, and over the next couple of years, things just kept going from bad to worse. And it was I was at a rehab program because I was having trouble walking and had a lot of shoulder injuries, which, as for someone who swims, is not a good thing. And I then ended up in a wheelchair after the rehab program because they didn't realize the extent of the injuries to my pelvis. So there was 3 months in a wheelchair and then a walking stick after that. So I hit rock bottom, and then I thought to myself, you know what, I need to get out of this. This is not good for me. And you don't, when you are in that really dark state, it is really difficult to know that you're in that dark state. Once you're out of it, you can turn around and go, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I was that far down. So I had to then sit down and basically work out how I could be happy again, because as you can imagine, I was not happy. And so my 10 steps basically were to, number one, find a purpose. So find your purpose for living each day. And for me, my purpose was my daughter. And I only basically lived for her and made the change for her. The second step is to get support. You need to seek professional support, but only from those people who are not going to enable you. It's really easy that when you're in a dark place, whether it's physical or emotional or because of mental health, whatever the reason is, it's really easy to find other people who are in the same place and sit there and compare notes together. And it means you stay in that stuck state. So find some support, and professional support is the best. Exercise is step three, and you probably need to find someone to help motivate you. I remember every afternoon I would be in bed and I would be asleep because I needed nana naps, and I had a good friend called Susie, and she came over every afternoon, and she would sometimes literally drag me out of bed and take me down to the swimming pool. And she'd laugh at me because my whole right side was fairly injured in the accident. And so I was swimming with one arm and kicking basically with one leg. And she would just sit there and laugh at me and tease me and call me all sorts of names or whatever, which was, it just lifted the mood. And she would swim, you know, about 2 kilometres, and that was fine. And I would be there lucky if I could do 100 or 200 metres. And when I got to 600 meters, for me, that was my goal. That was all I wanted to do, swim 600 meters nonstop. And so exercising helps you so much, as we know, you know, within our neurosystem, the endorphins it releases, and having someone there to motivate you is important. Step four is what I call the glass half full. And this is a really conscious effort you need to make every morning. You need to consciously fill your glass until it is overflowing. And how you do that is only something that you can work out. You can do it through gratitude. You can go and put a motivational post on Facebook. You can just go and sit in the sun for 5 minutes. You can go and take your dog for the walk. Whatever you do, look around you, because there is one good thing, somewhere in your life. Step five is the law of attraction, and that is making a conscious effort to be happy, to attract happy people into your life. So when you're happy, it's amazing how many happy people will come, just come by you, and they'll just feel your happy energy, and they'll just want to be with you. Michael, I remember when I was after, you know, the accident, as time went on, you'll find if there's something chronic, like a chronic pain in your life, and you're always down about it, people will drop off. I guess it doesn't really matter what situation you're in. Everyone comes to you in the beginning and, how can I help you? What can I do? And they'll do whatever necessary. But if it goes on and on and on, people tend to then get on with their own lives. And so you are left with just yourself and your support group that you have with you. If your support group is an unhappy support group, it's going to keep you bogged down and not allow you to have open opportunities of having happiness in your life. So you do have to make that conscious effort to be happy, to watch a funny movie, to go out and laugh. You know, laughing is one of the best medicines, they say. Step six is to look in the mirror and ask yourself, if I were meeting me for the first time, what would I see? And I think that's a really important one, because it comes back to not only your physical appearance, but it also comes back to how you project yourself. So when you're in a dark place, you really don't care how you dress. You don't care what you eat. You don't care even if you eat. And that's all normal and that's okay. But at some point, you've got to start looking after yourself. So just once a week, go and put on a nice outfit, even if you're just going to be walking down to the shops. Put on that little bit of lipstick, you know, if you're female and or male. And just brush your hair and make an effort with your appearance. And you'll feel better too. And when you meet someone, give them a smile so that people can see, oh, wow, this is nice. And, Michael, one of the things I'm actually trying to achieve with my daughter at the moment is to be a good role model for her and to compliment strangers whenever we go out. And that means consciously looking for somebody or something that you admire in someone, or where, for instance, the other day we were just down at the local hotel and we were having a really nice lunch, and there was a father and he had four young children with him. And they were probably all under the age of, I'd say, maybe 9 or 10. They sort of ranged from about 4 years old to 10 years old. And they sat beautifully and had the most amazing manners. And they were just sensational. And at the end of our meal, I went over to him and I said, oh, excuse me, I just want to compliment you on your children. They are so well-mannered. I said, that is wonderful. And the look on his face, Michael, was just great. You know, it lit up his whole face and I was just so happy. And my daughter's looking at me because she is horrified when I speak to strangers. But I feel that so many times in this world, we are just stuck in our own world and we're walking around and we're not taking notice of what's going on around us. So to make that conscious effort and to go and find somebody who's doing something great and just say, hey, you're doing a good job, you know, that can stick with them for a long time. And step number seven is laughter. So find a reason to laugh each day, which I think was sort of covered a little bit in the being happy. And step number eight is find a friend you can trust, because friendships are fundamental in life and you really need to cherish yours. It's very easy to be let down by friends, and it's not so easy to overcome it when you are hurt by a friend. So when you find a friend that you can trust, that you can talk to, that's just gold, and it's really important to have that. Step nine is to love your life and find one thing each day to be grateful for and love in your life, because there is something good out there for you. And I think, Michael, step 10 is probably my most important one, because it's where everything generates from, and it is to love you. Because this is the greatest gift you can give yourself, if you actually love yourself. And it's just so important to do that, because if you don't love yourself first, how can you love anything about your life or anyone else in your life? So how do they resonate with you?
That is absolutely an awesome program, Tanya. And how do you deliver that? It's in the form of a program that you teach, or an ebook, or what is the delivery mechanism for that?
Yeah, I run workshops. I run workshops, especially for the corporate world in particular, because there's a lot going on around wellness in the workplace. So a lot of people need that sort of help. And it, by employing all these steps to happiness, you're also going to find out that in your workplace or even your life, that you do things like you reduce the stress in your life. You find that you, in the workshops, we delve into maintaining that work-life balance and making sure that you are getting enough time for yourself, and how to actually motivate yourself to step out of whatever stuck state you're in and move forward in life, because that is probably one of the biggest challenges people find.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you mentioned laughter and having fun and incorporating that into your life on a daily basis. I think that is absolutely essential. So on that note, let's, before we get into some more business type of stuff, let's lighten it up a little bit and see if you can, do you have a favorite joke that you've heard in the last month or so that you can tell me and our audience here?
Oh, if I'd known you were going to ask that would have been, we have a lot of in-jokes in our family. And I, you know what, Mike, I laugh at myself more than anything or anyone.
Well, and, I know you're always smiling and laughing and always happy, Tanya, and now I know why. Let me try that a different way.
Okay.
Can you think of a recent example other than talking to strangers that you've embarrassed your lovely 16-year-old daughter?
More like she's embarrassed me, and I'll tell you a little story about what happened. Was I was sitting here editing the Aussie Bloggers podcast, and I have a co-host, Amanda, and in the as we were talking before, that live radio is live and you can't edit, whereas when you're doing a podcast, it's much easier because you can go back and edit. So I was doing the editing and my daughter was sitting here on the floor just listening to me. And there was one big section where Amanda said something about to our listeners, don't whatever you do, don't do this, because Tan will get mad at you. She gets mad at me all the time, which I don't. And I said, oh, Amanda, I love you, and I'll just give you a hug. And we sort of bantered and laughed, and I went to edit that out. And my daughter was sitting here, and of course, when you're editing, as you know, you have to not, you don't always get it right when you're trying to cut off in between words. It can get a bit tricky. So it kept playing back, I love you, Amanda. I want to give you a hug. And my daughter was... So that is the sort of thing that goes on. And whenever we're out somewhere and I'm talking to someone, she'll just turn around and whisper in my ear, I love you. I want to give you a hug. And because you know what it's like. When you have a joke and it's used in public, it can get quite embarrassing, but I do love Amanda. She's a great co-host, and we have a lot of fun together. So, and she's got a great laugh and great sense of humor. So it's always good. Like you know, have a bit of a laugh and you know, don't take life so seriously.
Absolutely, 100%. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, my husband sits there and watches the news, you know, for an hour each night, and he loves it, absolutely loves it. And every time there's something there, and I turn it around and turn it into something funny, and he just looks at me like, "This is the news. This is serious." And I said, "Yeah, that's why I don't tend to watch it a lot, because I like the happy things in life." So yeah,
As a former politician, I like watching the late night talk shows and the political humor and making fun of things. That kind of lightens things up. So I like making fun of the news. It's a fun thing to do. But like your husband, I'm a little bit of a newsaholic, because you can take me out of the political game, but you can't take the politician out of me, I guess. So let's move on, Tanya. You're passionate about NLP. Mm-hmm. Neuro-linguistic programming. It's become quite popular over the past several years, but for those mm-hmm. that don't know what that is, what is NLP?
Okay, sure. NLP is basically retraining the brain so that you are able to control your feelings, control your emotions, and take yourself to where you want to be, so that you're not sitting in a stuck state all the time. And I'll give you a really good example. Let's just say that we were out driving along and we got lost. And we just sat there and blamed each other for getting lost and said, "Well, you told me to go this way. No, and I told you to go that way." And in NLP, what we do is we actually don't worry so much about who got each other lost. We sit down and we actually work out a solution to the problem. So we employ different strategies to say, okay, so, all right, well, that's happened. Now what? Let's actually move beyond that and let's find a solution to our problem. Let's get back on track. Let's find the right road and happy days again. So it's and that's just one example of the many strategies you can employ, because confidence is another big thing. And so it's looking at whatever's going on in your head and using certain strategies, like the circle of confidence, which is a really interesting one that I know a lot of real estate agents use. When they go up to, you know, knock on the door of a prospective buyer or seller, they actually step into their circle of confidence, put on their cloak of confidence, stand up straighter. And so they're basically morphing into this confident real estate agent who is going to sell their house for them, or they're going to make sure this buyer comes through. And it's a change of a mindset, and it's absolutely fascinating.
Absolutely. And you're going to be talking a lot about that with your guest in the coming weeks. So that's very, very cool, because it is an insanely valuable skill to learn. And I know that NLP kind of helped you in your recovery from your injuries. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I know you well enough now to know that you were a former swimmer like me. And so you were quite athletic. So your injuries were devastating. But am I correct in saying that now you're doing 60 plus bike rides, 60 mile plus or kilometer bike rides? And you're back to your old athletic self, and NLP, you credit a little bit with helping you that. How did it specifically do that? Did it give you the confidence to get back into it, or am I missing something here?
No, you're not missing anything at all. A lot of it is looking at the cause and effect. And when I did, and I did a lot of training in NLP to become a master practitioner, so that I could, first of all, help myself and then help others. But yes, the point is of gaining the confidence to achieve what you want to achieve. And one of the first things I did was I actually sat down and went, what do I want to do? And what I wanted to do was actually get out of bed every single day and go and make my daughter's lunch, because I wasn't doing that. And it was a really
tough time and to actually sit down. And one of the things we do in NLP is actually chunk down. And so we take the bigger picture, and the bigger picture might be, I'm in pain, I can't do this, I don't know how to get out of bed because it hurts, I'm no good. And so you're sort of stuck in this state. And so in NLP, we will chunk it down and say, okay, well, what's the first thing we want to do? And the first thing we want to do every day is get out of bed. So what do you need to do to get out of bed? And this sounds so common sense. But when you are overwhelmed and you have a big picture that is devastating you, it is really hard to move out of it. And so when you have someone who can support you and you chunk down and you say, okay, I want to get out of bed today, how am I going to do that? I'm going to actually set the alarm, and then I'm going to step out of bed, then I'm going to have a shower, then I'm going to go and brush my teeth, then I'm going to go and get dressed, and whatever your process is. And you set that as a routine and you turn it into a habit until you're doing it automatically. Michael, I remember the first time I set myself that goal. Do you know it took me 45 minutes to go from stepping out of bed to having the shower to actually getting dressed and then going to the table to sit down and have some breakfast? And I couldn't believe it. And so from there, I went, right, that is my base mark. 45 minutes. I'm going to beat 45 minutes every single day. And, you know, that sort of went on until it became just a normal thing to do. So, yes, NLP is instrumental in helping a lot of people to move their life forward and overcome something that is bogging them down, whether it is something that's happened in your life where you've lost someone, whether you've been given, say, the diagnosis of terminal cancer, whether you have been, injured in some way, whatever it is. And you know what, Michael, it doesn't even have to be something huge. It can be something that other people would consider really, really small in the bigger scheme of things. You could have had a fight with a friend, and that could absolutely devastate you. Now, for somebody who was sitting there, and like in my instance, 5 weeks after I was married last year, my husband got the cancer diagnosis, having an argument with a friend is maybe not on the same scale. But to the person who's just had an argument with a friend, it's their world, it's their life. So they need to have strategies to overcome that. They need to work out what's going in their mind. They need to be able to actually look at going in the other person's mind and in their life and draw everything together so that they get the true big picture. So, I think NLP has a lot of merit for helping all sorts of things and all sorts of situations.
Okay, and Tanya, your number one educational technology podcast. Let's promo that here. We're about 30, got about half the show. We're already through, and you're doing awesome here. When is that released? Is it done weekly, biweekly, monthly? Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to talk about your next show a bit.
Aussie Bloggers Podcast. You can find us at aussiebloggerspodcast.com. My co-host Amanda and I, what we do is we actually interview Australian bloggers and we get some tips and strategies from them. And we have such a wide variety, from the very structured blog everyday person to the dadinator, the daddy blogger who just blogs whenever he feels the need to web marketers like Adam Franklin. We've had the Merrymakers as guests on our show. We've had our very own Trish Springsteen. We've had her on the show. We have a great variety of bloggers that we chat to. And this week is Pro Blogger over in Australia, held in Queensland. And that is run by Darren Rouse. And he is actually on the Gold Coast as we speak. And we are all getting together. There's probably going to be about 600, 700, 800 bloggers all in the one place on the Gold Coast and listening to some awesome presenters. So our show comes out every Friday, and which is Thursday night for you in America, isn't it? It's Tuesday evening for you now, isn't it? So Wednesday morning for me.
Yeah, Wednesday morning for you would be Tuesday night, just like it is here.
Yeah.
It is where I am. It is Tuesday at about 5:35, and it's Wednesday morning there. Quite a time difference. Which, again, is so amazing that we can even be doing this, you know, from a technological standpoint. It's just absolutely incredible.
Mm.
And I think you're, what did we discuss, Tanya, on your next Go for the Gold show? Is that next Wednesday morning for you, is that right?
In 2 weeks, is that right? On the 21st, or I can start next week if you want me to. I don't mind. But
I think we're creating the buzz from this one, and then we're going every 2 weeks after that. So I think we're starting next Wednesday morning for you.
Okay.
So and we'll have information on that. It'll be at 9 a.m. Wednesday morning. Aussie time, and the USA will announce that, but basically it's in the evening in the USA.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really, really cool, and shortly we'll announce an awesome guest for that, so I just wanted to promo that a little bit. And
I'm really looking forward to that, Michael. That's
going
to be an awesome show.
Awesome. I know that you're going to do an awesome and terrific job on that. So everyone, look forward to that. You've got a double dose of Tanya. Listen to her podcast and listen to her live on Coach on Fire Network's Go for the Gold with Tanya Turner. And how do we do that? Let's clarify your name here real quick, Tanya. You go by Tan. Sometimes your Facebook is Tanja, and your last name is Turner. So how do you want people to address you when they call into the show or they're asking you a question through Facebook?
Oh, look, a lot of people just call me Tan. And what happened was way back when I first went to university back in the early 90s, you imagine you're at university first day and the lecturer comes in and she's calling out names and there's about 200 of you and she says, and now we've got Tanja, is that right? And so because you're not going to go and correct a lecturer on your very first day at university, and I just said yes. So from that day on I became Tanja, and but a lot of people still call me Tanya. And shortened it to Tan. So on social media, you can find me at Tan from Oz. And interestingly, Michael, the Tan from Australia came from one of your colleagues in America, Alicia Dunhams, and she's founder of Bestseller in a Weekend, and I did her program with her. And she used to, and I would be on Periscope or on, we'd be having webinars, and she would say, and it's Tan from Australia. And that's how Tan from Oz came about. So,
Tan from Oz, very cool.
Yeah, lots of stories about me.
Very cool. And I'm sure I will hear them as well, our audience, as time goes on. Let's have a little bit of fun in the last 20 minutes of the show, Tan. What's your favorite guilty pleasure?
My favorite guilty pleasure is chocolate. I love chocolate. Chocoholic. And my daughter just laughs at me because even last night, and I know my husband's at work, so he can't listen to this, but he will listen to the replay. Last night, I was in the fridge and getting some stuff out to cook dinner, and there was a block of chocolate there. And everyone knows that I'm, on this strict diet at the moment. And so I sneaked just a little, couple of pieces of chocolate, put them into my mouth,
The dog looked at me, and my daughter looked at me, and she just shook her head. And so I'm saying, shh, don't say anything, don't say anything. So yes, very, very guilty of sneaking in chocolate whenever I can.
I love chocolate too. Do you have a favorite book that you've read in the last couple of months that you would recommend that others in our listening audience would read?
Oh, Michael, I read all the time. I actually have about three books on the go, and one of them is Web Marketing That Works by Adam Franklin and Toby Jenkins. Another one that I'm reading at the moment is The Entrepreneur's Solution by Mel Abraham. And I have a lot of online, I read a lot of online stuff, and I listen to a lot of the stuff from Live Your Legend, which is from Scott Dinsmore and Chelsea Dinsmore. And I'm not sure if you know that whole story about Live Your Legend. But maybe that's something we can talk about at a later stage, because that is overcoming adversity in a big way, what Chelsea has done.
Okay. Let's see. Where can we go from here? Best movie you've seen in the last 3 months?
Best movie I've seen in the last 3 months. There isn't a best movie that I've seen because I haven't been to the movies for the last few months, but I am really looking forward to Bridget Jones's Baby. That one I really want to see.
That's going to be interesting. I've seen the previous Jones movie, so this one ought to be real interesting, to say the least.
That one, and there's a pet shop one coming out as well. What Pets Do at Home When You're Not Home? I'm not sure what it's called. Anyway, that's another
hilarious
pet movie that is a cartoony type movie.
But...
yes.
Oh. I've seen Pets Tear Up Walls and everything in between. It's crazy. They put a webcam or a camera on them when you're not home, and they just will follow them around for the day, and it is just a riot. Very
fun.
Very, very cute. Do you have a can't-miss television show, either Australian or American or British?
A what, sorry?
A favorite can't-miss television show that you might watch, either from your country or the USA or Britain or even Europe, for that matter. There aren't a lot of European television shows floating around, but there are from Britain, the USA, and Australia, that's for sure.
Yes, I absolutely do, and it is the romantic side of me, which my husband will shake his head at that I'm revealing this on live radio, but The Bachelor. I love The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Do they have an Australian version of that, or are you guys in the USA version?
I watched the very first season of the USA Bachelor, and followed it ever since. And yes, we are currently down to, we have Richie in Australia, who is the Bachelor, and he has currently down to, I think, about four girls that he has to choose, and it's on tonight. So I'm very excited that I get to watch it.
I know a lot of women that like that show for whatever reason, but in this particular case, I happen to be with your husband when Arena or someone turns that on, I just kind of shake my head. Are you serious?
And especially when we get so caught up in you know, the girls or the host, and we go, oh, she shouldn't say that, or she should be so much nicer to him. And he just looks at me and he goes, Can, it's a reality show. It's not for real. And I say, yes, it is for real, because they have to end up together. But no, he doesn't see that sort of thing
Coming from California, I won't burst your bubble on how those shows are done.
My husband and you will get on so well.
Yes, I know. When I meet him, I'm sure we'll get along just fine.
You're both.
And you and the rest of the women on the Coach
together.
On Fire Network will get along. I think we've got a couple others that are Bachelor fans that are hosts as well. So,
yeah.
So that's very interesting. All right, I think you may have alluded to it, but let's try it in this form. Tell us one thing most people don't know about tan.
Oh, I can answer that. I truly can. I actually held, not anymore, it was a long time ago, but I held a long distance relay record and was in the Guinness Book of Records for it in 1983, I think, or 1984. So there you go, world record holder.
World record holder in swimming?
Relay swimming, long distance relay. We swam, there were four of us. We swam 7 days, seven nights in a swimming pool nonstop. And we did something like, I don't know how many thousands of kilometers, but it was like swimming. If you imagine Australia and you imagine the middle of Australia right up to the top of Australia, that's how far we swam in 7 days and seven nights.
We did something similar over here, and actually set a world record, but I think it was about 2 years earlier than you. So you probably broke my record. Nice.
Yes. Yes. One up on Michael Brooks. Yes.
Yes, exactly. And you remember me from my swimming career back in the early days as well. I actually had a world record, too, that lasted for all of about 2 hours. I set this world record in a butterfly event, and it was the USA national meet heading in an Olympic year to the Olympic trials, and Australia was having their national meet that same weekend. And so they were going in on Sunday. I had set the record on Saturday. By Saturday night, that record had been smashed by an Aussie, and he ended up, holding. Anyone that knows anything about swimming, and I don't want to bore people with the swimming stories here, knows that the predominant countries there are the United States and Australia. They were our big rivals on the national level, and we were constantly going back and forth and got to know each other really well because we swim on international. But, yeah, I had a world record once, too, and it lasted all of about 2 hours. I was not pleased. I was thinking, where are these Aussies coming from? How dare him do that?
I think our record lasted about a year, and it was broken by New Zealanders.
Our distance isn't going to last long either, and I think you guys are probably the ones that broke it. So,
That's pretty cool, Tanya.
And I'm a big believer in athletics in school, high school, college, and even before that. You know, as age group swimmers, we kind of understand that. How do you think that discipline and your career, your athletic career, has helped you today?
Oh, look, my husband and I talk about this so often, about the fact that if you can have that self-discipline and that self-motivation, because let's face it, Michael, and you know, I know there are other sports, but we both relate so well to swimming. Getting up at, 4 or 4:30 in the morning to be in the pool and then to go and swim a few kilometers and get out and then go to school and then come back and jump in the water, and doing that 5-6 days a week, that does require a lot of self-discipline and self-motivation. And I believe that then you carry that through with you to your working life and to your career, and there is always something that will come along. You'll see it. There'll be a challenge. You'll overcome it. There'll be a goal to set because you have that mindset at an early age. And one thing I notice a lot, especially having been a teacher, and look, there are always exceptions to the rule. I am speaking generally. But one thing I do notice that people who are in the sporting field, you know, throughout their school, whether they're doing, you know, football, whether they're doing tennis or swimming or basketball, whatever they're doing, and they have a set structure and discipline themselves, they will then continue that on to into their later lives and continue with that sport or some sort of sport. They tend to stay active, and research has shown us that if you can be the more active you can be, the more there is a direct correlation in between the output of, and I don't like to use the word intelligence because we're all intelligent in different ways, but in terms of when they've done these studies, they found that people who are involved heavily in sport and academically, it tends to help them raise the bar in some way. So, yeah, I'm an advocate for it. And although my daughter does not do a lot of, she doesn't do a lot of sport. She enjoys solitary sports. She's going skiing next week in New Zealand. She enjoys those sorts of things. She enjoys going for a run on her own. But in terms of actually going and playing a team sport, getting involved with the club, it's sort of not her thing. She's more academic. So, yeah.
But certainly athletically active then, if she's going skiing, which is a great sport. And she runs on her own, she's athletically active, and you can develop those same traits. For someone that maybe wasn't active growing up or involved in a organized sport, what would you recommend to them today to kind of develop that athletic discipline that would help them in their life and their career?
That's a really great question. I guess if you haven't had that discipline, you need to not so much, I think, develop, you can be given all the strategies that you need to help you motivate yourself. But at the end of the day, there's got to be something that you want so badly that you can set your eyes on, that you can actually go for gold. You can say, I want that regardless of whatever it takes. That's what I want. And then you can, by using, say, the 10 steps of happiness to happiness that I employ, take some of those strategies and go for it. Set out you need to know where you are now. You need to know where you want, and then you need to know how to get there. And you cannot waver, because there is research that will show us that in the first 3 years of in business, that is when people stop and they say, I've failed. And it's like in blogging. In the first 3 months, a lot of people will stop blogging after 3 months because they go, oh, no one's reading. But you have got to say to yourself, I'm going to do this and I'm going to keep going no matter what. And you do need all those structures in place. You need the support behind you. You need to know that you can do this. You need the strategies of how you're going to do it. And when you get there, oh, my goodness, the feelings that it evokes when you finally reach a goal and complete it, no matter how big or small that goal is to anyone else, it's for you. So
very
that's,
cool.
Yeah.
I agree heartedly. That's exactly someone in that situation. We've got about 6 minutes, 6 or 7 minutes left, Tan. So I want to make sure that there's no callers on the line, because if there is, we want to get them in and closing moments of the show. So look, since I'm not in the studio, look down and make sure that there's no callers underneath my call-in number.
No, sadly, there are no callers, but if anyone would like to call in, they can dial in on 646-716-7979. And if you are somewhere else in the world and you want to chat, just message us through Facebook. And that's at 10 from Oz that you can contact me there.
Very cool. All right. We've got, if anyone wants to do that, message Tan at Facebook. Or if you're in North America, give us a call real quick in our closing 5 minutes here. Let me close it out, Tan, by asking, you live in a beautiful country, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone was going to visit Australia, where would you take them that is little known and non-touristy?
Oh, little known and non-touristy. I would, well, originally I was going to say the Gold Coast, but that is quite touristy. I would take them to Mount Tambourine, and that is in the Gold Coast hinterland. And there are some beautiful, beautiful picnic spots up there. There are some lovely little restaurants. We actually got married last year in Mount Tambourine, and it was absolutely gorgeous. Mm. So, and you have great views, and there are, and there's a little place called Gallery Walk, and it has a whole heap of little gift shops and little cafes where you can sort of walk up and down the streets. So it's getting a little touristy because a lot of people are finding out about it, but that is definitely one of the places to go, and go during the week because it's a lot quieter then.
Okay.
Are you coming to Mount Tambourine?
I will. We will definitely be there, and you can take us there. All of our other Aussie Coach on Fire hosts can go with us. It's really cool. So I've been there before and loved it. Not to Mount Tambourine, but to Sydney, and can't wait to get back. And I'm planning on doing it relatively soon, so I'm looking forward to that. True or false, people eat kangaroo in Australia?
It's true. It's true, but I think it's true around the world, isn't it? Don't they export it? Around the world? Okay.
You might be able to find it in a few stores, but I know you can't find it here. I know one of the things that I did when I was in Sydney, I found kind of like in a tuna can, canned kangaroo. And when I brought it back over here, everyone thought it was a kind of a mean joke because they're so cute.
They are cute.
they thought it was just an absolute joke. So having said that, and not talking about cute kangaroos, and I know you don't eat koalas, but what is a favorite Australian dish that others around the world may not know that is delicious?
Oh, gosh, an Australian dish. Well, Kian, my daughter's grandmother makes this beautiful dish, and it's probably called something else somewhere else. They live on a dairy farm out in just past Byron Bay. If anyone knows Byron Bay, it's a gorgeous area. And she makes a dish called macaroni magic. And what it is it's basically you just get your best, you know, whatever meat you want to use. And then being on a dairy farm, they obviously have the best meat. And you mix it together like a stew. And then you add your noodles to it. And up the top, you put cheese on the top to give it a really crispy crust. And, yeah, she calls it macaroni magic because it's made from macaroni noodles. Whether that's – and she's a purebred Aussie, so I guess it could be, you know, an Australian dish.
I guess that's Aussie. Okay.
Yeah.
That works for me.
That works.
Well, we're 2 minutes out to the end of the show. Tan, how do you feel? Congratulations. You made it through your first Go for the Gold.
Thank you. Yes, I am really, really excited that I have had this opportunity with you. So thank you so much. Thank you to our listeners. I have enjoyed every minute of being on here, and I look forward to the show next week. We've got some great guests coming up. You're going to really love them.
And it has been an honor to interview you, and I can't wait for your next solo show. You'll have me on the show producing, but you won't have me here, so that'll be kind of a second premiere for you. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Great.
Okay, Michael,
thank you so much. Let's tell everyone one more time how they can reach you, Tan.
Okay, they can find me on social media, Tan from Oz. Otherwise, they can go to tanyaturner.com, follow us on the AussieBloggersPodcast.com. So I look forward to seeing everyone. Thanks for listening.
That's a wrap. Play the close.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want.